This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. I want to talk to you today about frustration. Oh, never heard of it? I'm not talking about anxiety. I'm talking about when it gets to frustration. Okay? Everybody goes through it. It's not a unique experience to you. It's a situation that, according to the Vedic literature, attraction and repulsion are felt by all embodied living entities. Some things you're attracted to, some things you're repelled by. And the issue is, you get an anxiety, you get upset, you get past that, you get into absolute frustration, next to rage, when you can't either make a solution, you can't understand the situation, or you can't cope with it. Well, why? My goodness, why? What is there in this particular experience of life that you can't cope with? What is there in this material world that can't be understood? So we really, what we're saying is, the mind has become confused. It's turning to the intelligence and saying, answer this, put two and two together, get the answer here, get the right perspective, and you can't. The mind can't feel, you can't feel that it's okay, that it's acceptable, that it's right, that it's good for you. And this is frustration. It's happening over and over again, or you can't get out of something that is bothering you. Someone keeps causing the same problem again and again. Why? Well, the Vedic literature says that what is happening in these instances is that the mind is becoming confused, overwhelmed is a better word. Now, the reason that's happening is the data coming in from the senses, instead of being viewed as information, it's being viewed with as attraction and repulsion, or enjoyment or distasteful. So the mental perspective of the mind is what is off kilter. And why? Because there's not enough knowledge. If you have knowledge, why this is happening, why that person is doing it, why are you in this predicament? If you have that knowledge, the mind can cope. But if that knowledge is not available, the mind is absolutely frustrated. And these frustrations well up. The mind ends up going around and round and round and round the same subject, and it builds up kind of a momentum of frustration, a momentum of anxiety. And it comes to the point that it can't get out of the loop. And it needs to get out of the loop for peace, to be able to think linearly again, because it's thinking in circles, the same subject, the same problem, the same issue, the same situation. So it ends up like blowing a fuse, frustration, anger. Now, the issue here is when you have frustrations, you tend to take them out on someone. This is the error. This is when you've actually gone wrong. This is when you end up embarrassed by your own activities or point of view. Because you can't cope, you can't answer, you can't straighten it out, you can't give relativity to it all, and you just blurt out this frustration. Bang the wall, crack your head, throw something, break something, scream out loud. Frustration at its utmost. As a method of venting. And all it does is it puts negative energy into the world and into your environment and into usually the lives of others you love. and you regret it later. These impulses, people act on these particular impulses and regret it later. Well, how do we get around this? How do you help someone who is in that condition? Or how do you help yourself when you're in that condition? Well, the Vedic literature says that the way to get around it, the way to alleviate all this anxiety and avoid the actions that you wish you didn't perform later, is knowledge. What it means is you do not see the situation in proper perspective. What it means is you do not have enough facts to get an equilibrium around the question, the problem. So we end up going through the frustration, the anger, the blurting it out, and then regret. But if you have enough knowledge, when you're bewildered in that condition, this is really because you're under the influence of the material nature. You're under the influence of your karma. Your karma is allowing these influences into your life, and they come incomplete. They frustrate you. And you need to have complete perspective. So one who's in knowledge of his true position, he's like a soldier who's armed. He can cut away the attraction of the senses and the confusion of the mind because he has knowledge of what really matters. And so we see that on this planet, most of the people experience the frustration because they don't really know what's their best self-interest. They don't know what matters. And we see that constantly. People place false values on all sorts of things. There are people that are very concerned about this particular subject and other people couldn't care less. Well, wait a minute. Is it really important or isn't it really important? Because a human is a human. The Vedic literature teaches that the importance of human life is to use it for self-realization. All the other species of life, you can get all the different types of enjoyments. But in the human form of life only, can you become self-realized and develop love of God and understand your eternal sojourn, your eternal duty. So it means that the human form of life is vitally, uniquely important. So the knowledge, that knowledge, means that you should be able to separate something that is a desire from something that is necessary for your betterment and upliftment. And we have that all the time going on. The people are saying, oh, if I have this, I'll be happy. If I can get one of those, I will be pleased. I can see my way to the greener pastures. This is all artificial. There's nothing absolute in it because this whole material manifestation is temporary. All the different things you can desire produce temporary enjoyments. The whole environment, the whole atmosphere, the whole manifestation is temporary. So you're only going to get a temporary buzz out of anything you can imagine. So to have the concept that this will make a solution is illusion. And it's the mind's way of analyzing things such that it can cope. But the intelligent person, the one who has knowledge about his eternal occupational duty, about his eternal nature, that I'm an eternal living entity, he has a different set of values. Anything temporary is called second class. Anything permanent is first class. Well, permanent is actually spiritual. Temporary is material. This is a very easy categorization for anyone listening. If it's temporary, it's material. And if it's permanent, it's spiritual. Because that's the natures of the two substances. The Vedic literature draws that line in the first 5 pages of the Bhagavad Gita. Matter is temporary. Material life is temporary. Material universe is manifestation. Temporary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the seed-giving Father of all life, is eternal. All living entities are His parts and parcels. They are eternal. Loving service and activities are eternal. And everything else on the other side is temporary. So we need to get these definitions clear in our mind. We need to recognize the difference between the two. There is an absolute gulf of difference. Now, gulf of difference means you're looking out 200 miles and there's a hole in the ground between you and the other side. The Grand Canyon, that's a gulf of difference. What's going on this side is completely separated from what's going on that side. Well, every one of us has a Grand Canyon in our lives between temporary materialness and eternal spiritual activities. They appear to be very closely related. But there's a massive Grand Canyon gulf of difference between the two, because one gives you a temporary buzz and it's gone, and the other gives you eternal emancipation and maturity. And it never gone. You become greater permanently, better, fuller, richer. So we need to understand, not only is there a difference between material objects and substances and sounds to spiritual objects, substances, and sound, but that the difference has an extreme difference in potency. Spiritual sound is described in the Vedic literature as supernatural sound. Because nature is temporary by its methodology, by its construction. So anything in the nature concept is temporary, inferior, super above nature, supernatural is eternal. So the words that you speak, oh, this is my car and I'm going to wash it on Tuesday and I need a rag, I need a bucket, I need one of these, I'm going to actually do this and that, I got to polish something here, I got to do this. That's all material sound. But when one prays and offers obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, offers obeisances and prayers to the spiritual master, when one renders service selflessly, when he sacrifices something of his achievement for the satisfaction of God, that's transcendental sound. It's completely different. As I'm sure you're aware, the Vedic literature teaches that one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's delineated in the Vedic literature from page 1 that the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, the great mantra for deliverance, is specifically made up of unique names of God in a set sequence and cadence, that it sets up a transcendental sound vibration that penetrates anything. Absolutely anything material. And it influences, it surcharges, it purifies, it uplifts, it enlightens all of the spiritual living entities. This is why the Krishna movement uses the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for your benefit in the streets, for our own benefit, chanting in meditation, for the upliftment of groups and crowds at festivals and on occasions of coming together. Because the potency is completely different. It's a sound, yep. And all sorts of sounds are being made right now. There's clunking, or a tractor going by. There's a car beep, beep. There's a thousand beep, birds chirping. There's all sorts of stuff, sounds. And then there's a transcendental sound, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The hearing of the Vedic literature. The hearing from a self-realized soul, the Acharya, the spiritual master. That's completely on the transcendental platform. And the potency in it is not perceivable from a material perspective of life. With these blunt material senses, we cannot actually sense the potency in the spiritual sound vibrations we hear. We have to hear those vibrations and allow them to enter our ear, and after a period of time, the effect of spiritual sound purifies the mind and senses enough. We don't have the frustrations. We don't have the anxiety. We don't have the illusion. And we actually taste the nectar of transcendental sound. That's when the living entity actually becomes liberated. He's free from the illusion, the anxiety, the frustration, the misconceptions, the false desires, etc., of material life. Because he now has tasted the difference, and he knows anything material is inferior and anything spiritual is superior. So immediately, you can see his life changes. He becomes attracted to hearing the Vedic literature for its purity and potency. He knows its eternal nature. He uses, hears, chants, remembers the Maha Mantra because he's tasted the nectar of the chanting. He moves out of selfishness, out of self-desire. He moves into selfless devotional service. He's a different person while living in the same place, in the same body, with the same senses and mind and intelligence. But because of the potency of spiritual contact, his intelligence is purified. The mind is calmed. The frustration is subdued. And the senses are under control. It's not right for you to vent your anger and frustrations on the nearest person or somebody you like or don't like. Your responsibility is to look to the root of those frustrations. Those problems, those sufferings and anxieties are caused by misunderstanding what really matters. Unable to see the difference between matter and spirit. And if you understand that spirit, if you see that and feel that spiritual energy, you can't go back. This liberation is fixed, liberated from the illusory conception of life. Then you become happy. Then the mind becomes the best friend. While the mind is absorbed in material sense objects, absorbed in the attractions of the senses, is enjoyed in the social values of life, there's always opportunity, always experience of anxiety and frustration. Because what's experienced by one person as good is not by the next. It's mixed uniquely by the individual. But the only platform that there is a level where everything is beneficial to everyone and they all taste things in proper perspective and fulfillment is a spiritual platform. So you must approach a spiritual master who is on the spiritual platform constantly, fixed, 24 hours a day, undeviating on the spiritual platform, and he can explain it to you with vision. He's seen the true perspective. He can deliver that perspective to you if you can control your mind long enough to hear it. So the spiritual master will engage you immediately in reading the Vedic literature. He will engage you immediately in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. He will engage you immediately in restraint from illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication. And he will teach you how to start working on a devotional platform. Offer your food to God. Offer your service to God. Fruit, flour, water, incense. Offer to God. Sacrifice something of your hard-earned labor. Srila Rupa Goswami instructs one should give up to 50% of his income for the satisfaction or the propagation of God consciousness. Well, maybe you can, maybe you can't do that. The way things are going with the demons running the planet, no one has extra money. So we don't have much opportunity, but we can give a little this or a little that. We've learned from the Vedic literature that the Lord likes milk sweets. Well, we can make some milk sweets. We can make something that's just for his satisfaction, not me, not you. There's so many ways. We can offer incense. We can provide flowers. We can understand the Lord's presence and the deity. We can see things on a higher platform and act on that platform and taste the highest devotional prospects of spiritual life. So our opportunities are there to the mind, even when it's in frustration. We just have to keep the perspective adjusted correctly. We can't fall to the social influences, to the external attitudes, the external values imposed upon our life. We have to turn and try to see the spiritual point of view and control the mind. The mind is either the worst enemy or the best friend. And everyone has experienced it's your worst enemy when it's full of frustration and anger. And it's your best friend when it's calm and soothed and is thinking directly for how can I do the right thing. There should be a prayer of everyone. How can I do the right thing? What is right? What is right to do? What is right for me? What is going to please the spiritual master? What is going to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This platform is the platform of unity. The living entity and the Supreme Lord have the same purpose. The spiritual master's instructions, the living entity's desires, the Lord's expectations match. This is why it's called science. The science of self-realization. The science of bhakti yoga. Arm yourself with knowledge of bhakti. Arm yourself with the realization, the understanding of your true perspective. This liberates you from the frustrations and the anxiety. No other external adjustment's going to do it. Yelling and taking your anxiety out on someone else is not your right. It's your wrong. You have to control yourself. You're not going to let go. You're not going to give it to somebody. You have to control yourself. Your mind, your intelligence, your senses have to be kept under control. And if you can't see in proper perspective, you inquire. You go to the spiritual master through his books. You read on the subject that you're concerned about. You try to read about what it is that will cause you to feel like this or to misunderstand things. And you make simple adjustments in your point of view. Knowledge destroys frustration. Knowledge calms and controls the weary mind. So the intelligent person in the human form of life will cultivate knowledge. He will approach a spiritual master. He will read the Vedic literature, and he will act on those instructions, and he will free himself. And then he ends up freeing others, and he tastes the joy of doing the ultimate good, a permanent solution to the problems for someone else. This is what the spiritual master is doing for you, and this is what the spiritual master asks you to do for others. Instruct them as I've instructed you. Give them a link to this chain of knowledge, the spiritual master, disciplic succession. Let them have an unlimited source of knowledge and understanding so that the anxieties are put to rest permanently, not temporarily, permanently. Let him find peace, tranquility. Let every man find peace and tranquility. It isn't external in the material world. No, it's internal. In knowledge and realization, in service and surrender. That's where it's to be had. But we live in a world run by demons who constantly want to keep you looking out, constantly keep you busy with stuff that doesn't matter, and offering solutions that don't solve anything, and making you live for money and enjoyment and sex. This has nothing to do with the human form of life. The human form of life is our self-realization, to develop love of God, to develop devotional service, to raise yourself to the platform of eternal understanding of what is right and how to act correctly, and taste the nectar of delivering pure knowledge, transcendental sound, Vedic knowledge, to the living entities who are living in frustration like you used to do.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.